First, after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade with the Dobbs decision over the summer, groups opposed to abortion have shifted their focus to medication abortions and abortion pills. The court ruling left it up to states to decide their own laws on abortion access, but these pills can cross state lines and create complicated questions about jurisdiction. A federal judge in Texas is currently reviewing a lawsuit seeking to revoke the FDA's approval of one of the most common drugs used for abortion, mifepristone, that would remove it from the market even in states where abortion is legal. According to data from the Guttmacher Institute, abortion providers reported over 50% of all abortions used those medications in 2020, even before Roe was overturned. A ruling on that federal lawsuit is expected in the next week. Maybe as soon as tomorrow, it could have a widespread impact on abortion access. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about these abortion pills and the laws that surround them? Do you think that they should be unapproved by the FDA? Do you want to see the court ban them? Or do you think it should be left to the states? Or do you want to see them legal across the board? And how should they be administered? A lot of questions there, too. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Rachel Rabouchet is the James E. Beasley Professor of Law and Dean of the Beasley School of Law at Temple University. She's a leading scholar in reproductive health law and family law. She recently published a paper called The New Abortion Battleground that was cited by the Supreme Court. Rachel, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Pre-Dobbs, what was the state of legal regulation of these of mifepristone and other abortion other medications used in abortions?
So medication abortion, which is two drugs, before Dobbs was regulated like other abortion services, whether it be surgical or aspiration abortion. States generally didn't treat medication abortion differently, although a few states did target medication abortion by trying to require that a physician be in person to hand it out, to require ultrasound, to require other ways in which the abortion service was carried out. But medication abortion, like other types of abortion, is really different in two ways. It's only approved by the FDA, the Federal Food and Drug Administration, through 10 weeks of pregnancy. And it's pills. So it's mifepristone, the drug you mentioned that the FDA regulates closely, and misoprostol, a second drug that you take after mifepristone. And it's before Dobbs and before the more recent FDA changes to the law, it had not been taken up by as many people as one would have thought medication abortion would have been suited for. But that's really changing.
Can you talk about those new FDA changes you just mentioned?
Sure. So the FDA, before Dobbs was decided during the pandemic, lifted a restriction on mifepristone, that first drug in a medication abortion, which essentially required people to pick it up at a healthcare facility. A clinic, a hospital, right? During the pandemic, the FDA was sued to lift that restriction because it was thought that requiring people to go to pick up a drug that they can take at home without any provider supervision increased patient-provider contact and increased the risk of contracting COVID-19. A court suspended it after, you know, a series of steps. The FDA decided on the basis of evidence that actually people didn't need to go to a clinic to pick up the pills. Why that's important is because before that rule change, you couldn't go to a pharmacy to pick up abortion pills. You couldn't have them mailed to you. Lifting the in-person requirement has allowed online clinics to deliver medication abortion services and mail the pills to people at their homes or at any location of their choosing, so long as it's legal to do so. So what's really changing is the means by which people can receive medication abortion.
Now, here's Dobbs. And now states are in charge of this. And things get complicated. Can you talk about the range of laws as they apply to these pills now?
So what's now complicated is Before Dobbs, states couldn't ban abortion, including medication abortion, if it was before the pregnancy was viable. Now states can, and about a third of the country bans abortion from the earliest stages of pregnancy, which includes abortion pills. So you have really a map that looks pretty stark for prohibition or permission. Other states, by and large, allow medication abortion subject to some restrictions. And so you have a really a map of the United States that where characterized mostly in the Midwest, in the South and Midwest, abortion's not permitted at all. And now on the coast and in various states, abortion through different stages of pregnancy, that is permitted. What we see happening is that people, even in states where abortion is banned now, are still ordering abortion pills online, not through those virtual clinics that I mentioned, but through other services that exist outside the United States. We also know that people are able to navigate the internet, mail forwarding in a way that also lets them have access to mifepristone and misoprostol, even if they are living in a state that bans it.
Talking to Rachel Rabouchet with the Temple University Law School, looking at abortion pills, laws, lawsuits challenging the availability of the medications, and more. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Rachel, that brings us to this legal challenge in Texas right now, looking to effectively say FDA unapproved this medication. What's going on? What's at stake?
So this is a lawsuit taken by the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine. It's a group that does not support abortion. And they sued to argue that the FDA, when it approved mifepristone to end pregnancies in 2000, 22 years ago, acted outside of the agency's authority, that the FDA misapplied its statutory authority, and for that reason, with some other reasons, the court in Texas should take mifepristone off the national market. It should essentially say the FDA was wrong then, it should be removed now. The Biden administration, through the DOJ, has countered that the drug was approved over 22 years ago. That's a long time for a drug to be approved and then for it to claim that it was approved incorrectly. That in fact, the FDA didn't rush to approve mifepristone. It took years. They denied the application a couple of times before, and that this had all been investigated over the course of the last 2 decades. The reason people are watching this case is because it was filed and will be heard by a court that has a pretty strong track record of delivering opinions that are hostile to abortion rights. And so there's a lot of speculation that potentially even tomorrow, when the decision may come out, that mifepristone could face a national injunction, which means it'd be off the market, even for states that still have abortion as legal.
We're talking to Temple University Law Professor Rachel Rabouchet about abortion pills and efforts to restrict them by state laws, by a federal lawsuit. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about the legal status, the use of these abortion pills? Do you think they should be removed from the market? Abortion under Wisconsin's 1849 law is effectively illegal, except in very rare instances. Do you think that there should be efforts to stop the use of these pills, the mailing of these pills, or driving of these pills into Wisconsin? What could that look like? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Rachel Rabouchet, law professor and dean at Temple University, with us today to look at anti-abortion groups' new focus on abortion pills and some of the legal challenges ahead. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Rachel, for a state where abortion is legal and where lawmakers want to make sure that abortion pills aren't coming into their state, What kind of enforcement and surveillance efforts are we starting to see to try to do that?
I think you see some states like South Carolina proposing bills that would ban information on how to receive pills online, how to order them, or how to use a mail forwarding for ordering pills, having them shipped and then forwarded to you in another state. I think we're seeing some criminal investigations, people who are self-managing their abortions, ordering pills online, and then having complications, arriving at ERs, and then having states not use abortion laws to charge them, but other laws like fetal assault or the like. I think that we'll see states start to, you know, search people's digital footprint to see if they are trying to procure abortion pills online. And I don't think that these are going to be easy policies to enforce. I think that they could very potentially incite a lot of backlash from the public, which it's clear assumes by and large that their health data and their private information should stay that private.
If it were to be ruled or unapproved by court order, as in this case in Texas, then what? These drugs are out there. They're on store shelves right now, or you know, pharmacy shelves, I should say, not right out in the open. What then?
And yeah, and I should have added that one of the things the FDA did is also permit pharmacies to seek certification to dispense mifepristone where it's legal. No, pharmacies haven't done that yet,
right? Thank you.
Except for an online pharmacy, which mails pills, Honeybee Health. But yeah, there is a nationwide injunction. A couple of things. The FDA could reinstate its safety restrictions, its rules could reinstate mifepristone on the market, but that's going to take time. So there will be a gap between this injunction taking force and the FDA acting. Providers might start using the second drug only in a medication abortion. It is possible to terminate a pregnancy with just the second drug, misoprostol. You might see a change in clinical practice. I think you would absolutely see an uptick in the number of people ordering mifepristone and misoprostol online from other countries, going across the border to bring the drugs back into the country. You know, I think it might stop the sale of mifepristone through the manufacturers, but it's not going to stop people from seeking out abortion pills.
Joe from Eau Claire called, couldn't stay on the line. He said he thinks there needs to be better access to these abortion pills. The laws need to be relaxed, Joe says. And that reminds me, Rachel, you write in one of the pieces I mentioned that some states are trying to take action to provide access to these pills. What are we seeing in those states?
So there are seven states that have passed laws in anticipation that their providers who are providing abortions that are legal in state will be attacked from out of state. A state like, I guess most recently, Illinois, won't allow its providers to be sued in its state courts or subject to criminal discipline or professional discipline. A state like Massachusetts is trying to protect providers who are providing telehealth services for abortion by saying that their protection exists, applies regardless of where the patient is. These have been called shield laws, and they anticipate the coming reality where states try to apply their abortion laws outside of their borders. There's good reason to think that those policies or those attempts have constitutional problems. We have a right to travel in this country. We protect interstate commerce. But those haven't been tested out in courts, and courts could disagree about whether or not Texas, for instance, can create a private cause of action to sue anybody who helps a Texan leave Texas to seek an abortion in another state where abortion is legal.
A lot of moving parts here, Rachel. What do you have your eye on most closely when it determines the future of the law as it applies to these abortion-related medications?
It's a great question. I think I've been thinking a lot with a couple of great co-authors, David Cohen and Greer Donnelly, about the FDA's role here. There are two lawsuits that have been filed that do the opposite of the litigation we were just talking about in Texas, that claim that the FDA, because it regulates medication abortion so closely, should trump state laws that contradict FDA policy. And if courts were to agree, that would create a medication abortion-sized hole in abortion bans for that state, potentially across the nation. And that, I think, is an interesting strategy that's also not been tested, but it also suggests another avenue by which medication abortion could become more accessible. The FDA could continue to remove the other restrictions that are on mifepristone, which would increase its availability in states where it's legal, but probably ultimately nationwide.
And briefly, as we wrap up, if this court, this federal court in Texas, does in fact unauthorize mifepristone, would you expect to see appeals to that ruling?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that what we have ahead is just more litigation. You know, the majority opinion in Dobbs made the argument that Roe v. Wade needed to be overturned because it was unworkable. And that's a way of saying that created tests and opinions, decisions that had inconsistent results that were hard to apply. But we're seeing not a more workable set of laws now, and that the legal landscape is really defined by this interstate conflict and this litigation over what states can and cannot do, what the federal government can and cannot do.
Rachel, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Rachel Rabouchet, the James E. Beasley Professor of Law and Dean of the Beasley School of Law at Temple University. She's with us today to talk about the legal status of abortion pills and the pushback against them from abortion critics.